Oh, the microphone. That's not my responsibility, is it? Okay. All right. So this week we are working with working together on a topic which was in the series of six in our new members class, and that simply put is the duties of members towards the church and the duties of the church, or the duties of the pastors, back towards those new members. And so this is very familiar area for all of us. It's going to be much of a review, but it's some of the things that ought to be happening every week and often fall through the cracks. We fail to live out our Christian testimony together, and so it's a refresher course. So I think it's appropriate that we do this as a church here, and I'm actually going to ask for your help. I have the answer key here, but at least some of the answers. I don't have all of them, but I thought for some period of time, probably 20 minutes or so, we will just work together to answer the question, what are the duties of pastors to members, members to members, members to pastors, in kind of this circle. Now, I don't know if this makes sense. This is the first time. You can tell me later. This was the most confusing diagram I ever saw in my life, but I color-coded it to try to talk about some things. Originally was thinking pastors and members, but I thought it was important to bring out this one over here, me as a member. When I think about what everybody ought to be doing, do I think about what I ought to be doing? Okay? Am I thinking about what I ought to be doing? So some of that is personal. What ought I to be doing in this direction towards my pastors? What ought I to be doing towards other members? All right? But it's color-coded because pastors in the red ought to be pastoring all the members, right? So that's the red there. And members ought to be relating to their pastors, and you're going to give me quite a few things that both the individual member does and all the members do towards their pastors, right? Then we have this members to each other. I got two more arrows on my diagram, or the middle arrows. This is all of us together towards God, right? Okay, all of us together. What are some of our duties toward God? And so as you maybe think of something, we'll, you know, that'll be all of us together ought to be blank towards God, all right? Or all of us together towards outsiders, towards the world and those outside. So that's intended for this little two-part arrow here. All right, so now it's your turn, right? You may tell me what's in your head about anything at all on the diagram, and just tell me where you're thinking about it, all right? So it's kind of goes like, well, I think the pastors ought to treat me like, and then, okay, and so we'll jot these down, and then we'll see how far we can get. I'm just going to put words down on here, and then we have an outline of both duties of the pastors and duties of the members, and we'll see what we got right, hopefully we got it all right, but maybe there'll be some other thoughts here, maybe there'll be extra thoughts. Let's see what happens. Ron?
I think it's all in unity, or unity of the members, the pastors, and other members, and that means all would be to worship God aright.
Okay, worshiping God aright and pursuing unity, all right? So I'm going to put those in here until it gets filled up. I'll say pursue unity, right? Okay, now you get extra points if you can come up with a Bible verse to support that. So, what's that?
Paul talks about unity, I think, in one of the
epistles, right? Okay, we're in the New Testament and toward the end, right? That's good. So, how much credit should I give him? 20% maybe? 2%, right? Okay. Somebody want to come up with a verse? Pursue unity with, okay.
But as far as me as a member, I'm called to be holy because he is holy.
Okay, all right. So holiness, right? Okay, so again, this is directed towards God. It's all of us, right? We all ought to be pursuing that, all right? So it's not the interpersonal relationship. There's going to be some things that we do around the circle that are not all of us, all right? So we'll spend a little bit of time here, but you see where I'm going with my big circle. Sue?
Prayer.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm going to put it there. Okay. And I'm going to group yours under... What's that?
Member to member should be prayer too.
That's right. Okay. Good. Okay. There are an awful lot of one another's in Scripture, right? Okay, and one of them is pray for one another, okay? So that's we're going to start to feel that, okay? All right, we should pray for one another, okay? Okay, good. Okay, good. All right, Emily?
Going back to unity with God in verse Philippians 2:2, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being full of word and one mind.
Thank you. Okay, Philippians 2:2. All right, I'm going to run out of room here, so if you're taking notes, you can jot that down, Philippians 2:2. All right, I saw some other hands. Thought I saw some other hands. A scratch? A beard? David?
Instruction from pastors to members.
Okay.
Even members to members being able to
Come alongside. Okay. Instruct. All right. Got a verse.
Paul speaking to the elders in Acts 20.
Okay. Okay.
80%.
80% and going down, right? Okay. I did not fail to teach you the whole counsel of God. All right. All right. Good. Do you want to give him the extra points? Okay. Good. All right. Good. He was in the right spot. Michael.
Towards the Lord, it might be included in worship, but throughout the Scripture. Fear or reverence.
Okay, reverence, okay. Reverence of life, okay. So, yeah, and you might start to think about, corporate worship, but all of us ought to walk in reverence, walking in the fear of the Lord. All right? Good. And don't think I have this all, on my sheet and I'm hiding it from you. This is exploratory, all right? So, David?
As far as pastors to members...
Oh, wait a second. Yeah, okay, go
ahead. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 2, it says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight.
Okay, so I'm going to be shepherding, right? All right, keep reading.
Yeah, be an example.
Keep reading.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Being in a... 3... 1 Peter 5.
Okay, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for a shameful gain, but eagerly.
Okay. What did we miss?
5:3, it says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples
of
the flock.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, good. I'm going to take that as a major category, being an example. Well, I guess the verb would be pray, instruct, shepherd, exemplify. Exemplify. All right, good. Okay, exemplify. All right. Oh, come on. We got too many on the pastors. Let's get some more on the members. Rob?
We're to esteem them and recognize them.
Okay. All right. You want to look up first? Do you have it? Go ahead.
And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake.
Okay.
Be at peace among yourselves.
Okay. That first word, recognize them. The other translations, know them. Know them and esteem them. All right? appreciate. There's a couple different translations there, but recognize, no esteem. There should be a building of a relationship there, right? All right.
Submit to pastors.
All right, got it.
To one another.
You got to submit. You got a verse. Okay, Hebrews 13:17. Somebody got that?
Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves.
Okay, can't get around that one. Obey and submit. All right. Okay, good. All right. Okay, Rob, Ron?
Yeah, we're supposed also to tie to the pastor's salary because they're overseers, they're muscles and the ox.
Okay, caring for them, right, right. Supporting.
And also to the members, too, because if someone is in need,
Okay, doing good to the household of faith. Where am I thinking of? Galatians 6:10, right? Practical care, right? Doing good. All right. Okay. Excuse my handwriting. Ron.
Well, we're all to use our spiritual gifts.
Okay.
For the edification of the body.
Okay. Okay. So. You want to read it? Or do you have it?
Yeah. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to him who is the head, into Christ. Body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up and above.
Okay, so using spiritual gifts for the building up of the body, right? Okay. We might think that exercise, personal exercise, helps us grow, but it helps the body grow. Okay, good. Thank you. Murray?
Probably a subset of that one, because there's so many of the one another's that relate.
Right.
If you're edifying one another, that takes admonishing one another, correcting one another, teaching one another, encouraging one another.
Okay, so admonish, teach. What were the other words you used?
Encourage,
right? When necessary, rebuke, right? So I just came across Malachi 3 says, and then they spoke to one another, right? And there's just that general thing of speaking to one another for encouragement. Let's not leave that out, okay? Allison. Okay. So warn.
Same words, really, just and different
words. Yeah. Comfort.
But I had a verse, so I wanted to get credit.
Okay, good. First Thessalonians 5, right? So, let me see if I have gold stars in my... okay. All right. All right. David, I'll give you one more shot, and then I'll pass this.
To God, we're told to preach the word.
Okay.
We're called, especially in 2 Timothy 4, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by this appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season.
Okay. So for pastors, this is the context, right? Yeah, context there.
Want us to preach the word.
Right.
We're to preach the word.
Right, okay. So I'm going to put that over here then, that we all have witness or testimony, right? Opportunity to verbally speak the gospel, right? Pastors have this special obligation, I think, in that context to preach, okay? Michael and then Betty?
Enter his presence with thanksgiving.
Okay, giving thanksgiving, right? Okay, okay. Thankfulness. Betty, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking of esteem others
better than yourself.
Okay. Member to member, esteeming. Okay. Okay, esteem one another, submitting one to another, Ephesians 5, right? Just esteeming, submitting, mutual submission. I think I'm right. Okay, in honor, preferring one another, right? Okay. David.
Hebrews says we're supposed to assemble together.
Okay, good. All right, so. Okay, so this is a duty of all of us, members and pastor, obviously, to assemble together for this purpose. Thank you. Okay, David?
Hospitality.
Hospitality. Okay, good. Okay.
That's also pastors, too. You know, for pastors, for members of pastors.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, pastors are specially called out to be hospitable, right? Good point. Okay, so that's global. All right, Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, I have one. I don't know exactly where it is, but I do know that when Paul was setting up all the churches, he was instructing them how to select godly men for offers of eldership and deacons and deans.
So, okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, I thought of that. You know, the whole context of 1 Timothy 3 is Paul giving direction to Timothy how the church ought to be ordered, right? Ordering and the selecting of leaders. We have Titus charged to do the same thing. So I'm gonna say ordering the church. Not ordering the church around, but ordering the church, church life. And we'll see a little bit of that played out in our handout sheet. All right. Okay. Anybody? Okay. Back to you, Betty.
Yeah, I said
the
mic
is right now.
I just
said
love.
Love? Right. Okay.
God and one another.
Right. Mutual love, right? Put it down twice. Right? Okay, loving one another. Okay, loving one another. Okay. Let's think for a minute. If I'm single member, new member, prospective member, coming into the church, what would I expect from my pastors? Anything else that's kind of like at a personal level that I would hope to see from my pastors? Okay, personal knowledge, right? Okay, knowing. Okay, I'm just going to kind of put it here because it's right on this one. To know, right? Person would know.
Kindness, gentleness.
Okay, being kind, okay. Forbearance, okay. Forbear, right? Take me where I'm at and help me, right? Right, forbear with me where I'm at, right? Okay. Okay, counsel, right? I guess I'm also thinking of back to the spiritual gifts, assessing gifts, right, of a particular person. We're all made different. We're all made as a different part of the body, and the pastor should help me as a member know my gifts, right? So I'll just put finding my spiritual gift. All right, I'm just seeing that as kind of a personal one-on-one exercise there.
Almost an accessibility to the pastor.
Okay.
Feeling that you can come to him and, you know, he's never too busy for you, that you have the confidence that, yeah, he's accessible and wants to.
Okay, yeah, so the pastor has a duty to be accessible, all right? My board is starting to get filled in. Awful lot of duties. I just take a moment to remind us all that, you know, where there's duties, there's grace needed, right? We all have to depend in any of these lists on any one item. We need to depend on the grace of God to perform this. It's not in us. It's definitely not natively in any of us to be giving this type of effort for others. We need the grace of God. We need to remember that. More thoughts? Okay, Sue. Okay. Serving one another and serving, I'm going to put it here, serving outwardly, serving inwardly, right? Serving one another. Maybe that's everyone ought to be serving each other. I guess I'm seeing a service to the outwardly to the unsaved, right? Okay, good. Good. All right, good. Okay. I'm just going to insert one more over here, member to member. It's kind of like using our spiritual gifts, but I also would like to talk about for a minute assisting each other to change, if I can use the contemporary language. We all want to change. We all want to be growing in holiness. We want to be sanctified. We want to change from where we are more and more into the likeness of Christ. Well, we have that duty in ourselves, but we also have that duty in community. Change happens as we help each other change. So I'm just going to put that as one more over here. Assist to change. All right, good. Okay. All right. Well, let me give the answer key out. Yeah, Ron?
I think one thing we're really, we've all had the same problem in the past. The pastor has to be solid in his doctrine and what the church believes in.
Right. So, good. Thank you. Could I ask you two guys to help me pass these out over here? And this is just, the first page is an outline of some duties of pastors. And again, this would, our original intent was to pass this out in the new members class and to say, okay, what should you be, as a new member, what should you be expecting from your pastors? What are their biblical duties toward you as a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then the second page is taken from our constitution as we've tried to outline some of the duties of members. And maybe we can take a couple minutes and just review that as well. I hope I made enough chronic problem blessing here of having enough copies to go around. So, all right, duties of pastors. Let's see if we pick up. Pastors are to be examples to the flock of God. 1 Peter 5:3, not lording it over, but proving to be examples. 1 Timothy 4, show yourselves an example to those who believe. Titus, again, Paul talking to Titus as a spiritual leader in the church, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds. Number two, pastors are to pray for the flock. We had that, Acts 6:4. The elders, or the apostles at that point said, but we will give ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word. And so we have prayer. Later on, we have the ministry of the word under number five. Pastors are to structure the life of the church, or order the church, the life of the church. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3, these things are written that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. There might be practical issues there, arranging meetings, assigning roles, assessing potential leaders, all from 1 Timothy 3. Then a big one, number four, pastors are to care for the flock. And that's both in that word overseer and pastor. There's both the protector and the feeder of the sheep, the one who is on helping them. I guess that includes number five here. Oversee the flock, be on guard for all the flock, take care of the household of God. The word rule, those who keep watch, Hebrews 13, 17. Then number five, pastors are to feed the flock of God with the word of God. We talked about Acts 6, Acts 20, and maybe it's worth turning to Acts 20 just to read that a moment. Let's read Acts 20 together, just refresh ourselves, refresh our minds. Verse 20, how I did not shrink, Acts 20:20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was this public teaching, and then there was a house-to-house teaching. There was a declaring both to the people of God and an outward declaring to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then picking up again in verse 27, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves, he's speaking to the elders, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And here's their duty, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And so he calls on them to be caring for, guarding the flock in that passage. And then number five, pastors are to feed the flock of God, not with their own thoughts, but with the word of God. And we again, that whole area of shepherding the flock of God, shepherding the church of God, teaching, declaring the whole counsel of God. Number six, pastors are to equip the flock of God. And here, so maybe we didn't get that one on our list here. Equipping from Ephesians 4. Let's look at that one again, Ephesians 4, since we missed it. Ephesians 4, and someone want to read 11 and 12. Let's 11 through 14. Someone want to read that? David, could I ask you to read that? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Ephesians 4.
11 to 14. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes.
Okay. So we have the phrase in verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, and then some of these other thoughts. What is the goal of that? For building up the body of Christ, we've talked about that. Attaining to the unity of the faith, we've talked about that, to mature manhood or to godliness in Christ and to the stature of the fullness of Christ here. And then it continues to go on about the body growing up here. So, again, we see that as something, I better put it up there, of equipping them. Thank you. Okay. We've said it this way, equip and release. Okay, equip and release for service, for ministry in the work of the God and work of the kingdom, right? So that's something that we want to, as God gives us help, help you. All right, good. Any other thoughts there on the side of the pastors, what they should be giving to the members? All right, let's turn the page here and just look briefly at this. Again, it's a lot of words on this page, but again, just for review, to remember that we've tried to think about this in four areas of life. And that's in that second paragraph. Having been brought by our sovereign God to repentant faith in Christ and into living union with Him and His church, we promise, relying on God's grace, to diligently serve Him in the joyful duties of relating. And then we have these four categories. How do we relate personally to God? That's how does, again, I'd say it's up in here, some of these. How do we relate as members to God there? How do we pursue that? And that's the first paragraph that starts out as image bearers of God. And then number two, to our own family. These are the relationships that God providentially has given us. How do we fulfill the duties of being a Christian in the context of the families that God has given us? Father, mother, if they're living, spouse, children, relations in those areas, and to play out those roles and relationships to the glory of God. And then the big paragraph is number three, how we relate to the church, the body of Christ, both local and universal. And so we have the big paragraph down there as those adopted and placed into the spiritual family of God and having been directed in the Lord's wisdom to this particular local church, we promise to. And here we go in a list of duties that we see in the Bible. Again, the citations are not given here, but I think we can find them. We promise to uphold the public worship in accordance with His holy word, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, to faithfully attend and give obedient attention to the word of God preached, to submit to Christ's ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, to give ourselves faithfully to corporate prayer. And then we talk about the duties to one another. In reliance upon the grace of the living God, we hereby determine to exercise a mutual care and watchfulness for one another, striving for the good of the whole church. To this end, we commit to use the gifts God has given us for building up of the body. You're all getting extra points because you found all these in our discussion here. We'll strive to carry out our mutual scriptural responsibilities, such as prayer for one another, hospitality, encouragement, exhortation, comfort, confession, forgiveness, restoration. Again, not a complete list of the one another's. And then we come to relationship of members to pastors. In submission to our chief shepherd, we will honor and submit to the authority of the pastors of the church within biblically defined bounds. Here's one we missed. We agree to contribute freely and cheerfully of our energy, time, and income as God has graciously prospered us for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the support of the needy among us, for the spread of the gospel throughout the world. And then as salt of the earth, we will, by divine enablement, seek to contribute to the church's distinctive identity as a city set on a hill. Again, I think that's part of the witness there. We will deny ungodliness and every worldly lust, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We will be zealous for good deeds, strive to maintain a clear conscience before God and men, so we do not bring reproach upon the name of our King, but but rather adorn his gospel. That would be an overarching picture of adorning the gospel of Christ by our lives. Take opportunities to make the gospel known by life and words to unbelievers around us. Then a final paragraph there, again, outward as dual citizens, both of heaven as members together of Christ's church and this land, we will pray for, honor, be subject to the governing authorities insofar as they do not contradict God's laws. Having known the mercy of God, we will defend the poor and the fatherless and do justice to the afflicted and needy. And then this cap statement, in reliance upon the grace of God to enable us, we joyfully commit to these solemn duties. So, again, it could never be exhaustive. The scriptures are our ultimate guide here, but hopefully give us some of the thoughts and ideas about what it is to be a member in the local church and the Church of Christ more broadly. So, thoughts, comments? What do we leave out? Well, again, you're all good class students of the new members class and the old members class, and hopefully this is just helps us. I think, again, I'll come back to Malachi 3. They spoke to one another. They spoke to one another, and God remembered them. You know, this is the way we ought to be speaking to one another about and encouraging one another about our ongoing Christian life together. Let's continue to do that. Let's not let these things slip. The familiar becomes the forgotten, and then we drift off some other way, and these are things that we ought to just hold tightly. Murray?
When we see a list like this, you've mentioned it, and I appreciate the emphasis that this can be an overwhelming list of what we have to do, and yet we have promised grace. And so thinking that the Lord has commanded, and the Lord always provides what he commands, he's always will enable us to do what he's commanded us to do, what a rich life the Lord's given us in mutual relationship to one another, in healthy pastoral sheep relations, in mutual relationships to one another. It's sweet to say, I want people doing this for me.
Right.
And I want to do that for other people.
Right, right. I was thinking along those lines, why doesn't it just work naturally, right? Why don't these relationships all work naturally? Ultimately because of sin, right? And where sin abounds, we have the promise that grace can much more abound. And so, like you say, we are privileged to see God at work providing more abounding grace than there is sin. And we think pretty much sin is everywhere. Sin is pervasive. Well, we have this promise. Grace can much more abound. And it can abound in our local church. Okay? It's never going to be perfect. It's, you know, we're going to stumble. We're going to offend in every one of these relationships here. But grace can abound. And it's a privilege to see God inject that grace into the situation. David.
One of the things we talked about in the James study, in James chapter 5, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. And we talked about the need for that transparency, that increased transparency, where we're willing and able to get among, whether it's in the small groups, whether it's among the times we pray together, to really be willing to not look like we have everything together and be perfect, you know, in one another's eyes, but to really share what's going on in our lives and to be transparent so that we can pray with knowledge, so that we can encourage one another. The gospel's about sin and forgiveness and redemption. We really need to have that at the core of member-to-member and member-to-pastor relations more and more if we want to grow in these things, I think.
Yeah, good. It's fundamental to the rebuilding of our relationships with each other, right? And making progress. Right? Not, it's not the mask of hypocrisy. How are you? I'm fine. Well, maybe I'm not fine, okay? So.
It seems to me, before we even get to that, though, I was looking somewhere on the board to humble one another, humble ourselves.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, and I was thinking of that in terms of mutual submission to one another, right? So, David?
But also with that, in 1 Timothy 4, that when it comes to pastors to members, but also members to pastors, it says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching priests in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your heirs, your hearers. So we're supposed to, you know, keep an eye on them as well to make sure that not only that they stray, that they're supposed to make sure that we don't stray as well, and that they're teaching what is in the Bible and nothing more.
Okay, so First Timothy 4:16, Paul is charging Timothy to keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. By doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I think there's a good point there, that there has to be check and balance. You know, we all need to submit to the Word of God. It should be the intention of the pastor to keep a check on himself and on the content of his teaching. But by inference, we all need each other to be in each other's lives. I need you, you need me. Right? Good. Good. Well, let's close together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are building your church. It is your intention to build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we see obstacles because of sin in relationships in the church, and we pray that you will break through those obstacles to your glory, that you will come and help us more and more to love one another and to pursue unity and pursue godlikeness and to grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ, and that we would help one another in that process. We would be personally humble, submissive, transparent. We would give ourselves to the needs of others. Help Pastor Chuck and me and others who in the future would be pastors in his church to be faithful in our tasks. Help the members to take each of us individually our duties to one another. Help us all, Lord, to personally be dependent on your grace, not doing it in our own strength. And Lord, may you get the glory. May you use us as a collection, an assembly of your redeemed sinners. Would you use us, equip us, release us, that we might serve you with joy, we might be privileged to live before you with open hands, worshiping hands, thankful hands, and serving hands. Lord, come to us in our life together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.